No one wants to hear the words, you have cancer, especially when you're 18 and about to head off to university. But that's exactly what happened to Sharmia. Teenagers and young adults already have so much to think about, whether you're 15, 18, or 23. And adding cancer into the mix provides a whole different set of challenges, ones that can shape the rest of their lives. Welcome to another episode of That Cancer Conversation, the podcast from Cancer Research UK that brings together the science and the stories behind cancer with me, Sophie Wedekind. April 2024 marks the UK's second Teenage and Young Adult Cancer Awareness Month, where charities and the young people we support come together and raise awareness on the unique challenges this age group faces when having cancer. In this episode, I speak to Sharmia, who was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma at age 18, and told me she had cancer, but it didn't have her.
I remember always feeling a bit of a fraud because I didn't lose my hair, even on chemo. I was very lucky not to. And I remember sort of like going into my treatment unit and seeing all these people without their hair and feeling quite like, oh, but I'm not going through it as badly as they are. And my diagnosis is better than theirs and that kind of thing. And actually, I kind of wish I'd spent less time invalidating myself and kind of just accepting like, there's parts of this that are rubbish. You don't have to be uber positive all the time. And I think that's a really important thing when it comes to kind of talking about how you feel around cancer and asking for help as well, because everyone's feelings in that situation are valid.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. That almost not looking like the stereotypical cancer patient starts to make you feel like your diagnosis and experience aren't valid. I guess when you look at the media and things like adverts and websites, that has a big impact on awareness. But we know that cancer can affect anyone.
Basically, as a young person with cancer, I feel like it's really hard to see yourself in the media around cancer. And I think when you watch adverts and things and you see kind of websites and social media posts, it's all more focused on kind of the older populations that are affected by cancer. And I think, as you say, I think a really important thing is kind of showing that cancer, I mean, we've seen it more in the news recently, cancer doesn't discriminate based on who you are. It doesn't care how old you are, your race, your sex, your gender. Like, it doesn't care. It's just, it's there and it's horrible. And I think all these people getting affected by it kind of find some unity in that. And I think that should be reflected in what we see. And I think as a young person with cancer, something that really helped me was kind of searching for media about people like me, with people who are younger, and it kind of just meant I had more to relate to. And it also gave me some hope in the sense that I could look at people and go, you look like me, you were just getting on with your life as a teenager and you got diagnosed, but you've kind of come through it, or you're posting about the reality of it, and I feel a bit less alone in that. And I think that's something that's really powerful with messaging around cancer, and I think it's why it's really important that we have things like this podcast to kind of talk about the realities with just normal people.
Definitely. And I think having things like TikTok and Instagram and other social media platforms where you can easily find other young people who have experienced cancer, telling their stories is making that awareness more widespread. And going back to your diagnosis, what was that period like for you? Because, you know, you were in the midst of your A-levels.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, when I kind of slow down and look back at that time, it's such a drastic change to everything, you know. And like I said, it was kind of a bit of an odd time in life anyway, because of COVID, of everyone was kind of not quite doing what they wanted to be doing, what they were expecting to be doing. So my A-levels had been cancelled already, but I was due to go to medical school. I had kind of like firmed my place at Glasgow, and it was kind of, I was kind of in this phase of like, right, the end of school's been a bit rubbish because everything's been cancelled, but it's fine because you'll get to uni. And along with all my friends, I was really looking forward to that. And then I think just that diagnosis just like turns your world on its head kind of. And I remember being sat in the room I was diagnosed, and it was kind of that thing where everything blurs out. And I remember the thing that really kind of hit me was when my oncologist said to me, you're going to have to delay going to uni for a year. You can't go that's just kind of a given. And it wasn't really a conversation. It was just a thing that was said because there was really no ifs or buts about it. And that was kind of when I realized how serious things were. And I think when I look back, it wasn't, I didn't really have that classic, like, oh my gosh, am I going to die? This is so serious. And I don't remember it all, like the walls crashing down or anything. The only thing I remember is being told I couldn't go to uni because that was really what mattered to me at the time. And I guess just to go from like someone who was looking forward to going off to uni like any other 18-year-old at the end of school, excited about that summer and stuff, to going to kind of adjusting to treatment, having to shield from COVID, having to make sure I was healthy enough to have the chemotherapy, basically avoiding all social contact because of COVID as well, and having to cancel basically what I thought was going to happen in the future, just kind of left me with this like, treatment is all you have and it's all you know about the next section of your life, so you've got to kind of just really focus in on it. And I remember after I was diagnosed, like going to tell some of my friends, kind of all outdoors, socially distanced as you kind of had to be, and I remember being sat in the car with my sister and just kind of thinking like, is this all I'm ever going to think about? Like, is my brain ever going to go away from this? Is it ever going to be able to concentrate on normal life again? And I'm lucky to say like now it has, but I remember that feeling at the time of it being so kind of all consuming and kind of just uncertain. That was the real thing, I think, just having that uncertainty of like what's going to happen next.
Yeah, what did happen next? So did you think your care was appropriate for your age? Did you have like resources to help you navigate the uncertainty?
Yeah, I would definitely say yes to the latter. I have been incredibly lucky in lots of ways with age-appropriate care, because I was lucky to get referred to the Marsden, which is my nearest tertiary centre. And the idea there is kind of that every young person under 19 gets referred there, and it means you kind of have support of a Teenage Cancer Trust unit. They had a specific kind of children's unit, and it just meant I had a space to kind of be in that was more appropriate for my age, or so was meant to be the case. I was kind of unlucky because I was diagnosed during COVID that a lot of those spaces were closed. So if I were to describe my practical day-to-day treatment, I don't know that I would describe it as the most age-appropriate. I was quite unlucky because, yeah, I think 18 is quite an awkward age because you're not quite pediatric population where they kind of know to give you like the fun plasters and the toys to play with and the teddy bear to explain what's going to happen and stuff. But you're also not quite an adult where treatment is just a bit less kind of warm, will I say? I think there's maybe just a bit more understanding that adults already have been in hospitals and those kinds of settings. Whereas for me, kind of the first time I properly went to hospital was being admitted to be diagnosed and have all these scans. So yeah, what would happen with my treatment was I would go to the children's unit and have my bloods and everything done. And then I would go across to the adults unit of the hospital and see my oncologist. And then I would go back to the children's unit and have my chemo. So it was just, even physically, the way it was split up kind of really exemplifies the need for age-appropriate care, I think. And I know it's changed quite a lot since I was diagnosed. But yeah, I think that's a really big thing. I know a lot of people around me kind of struggled because there were lots of young children around having treatment too, and I can see how that would be quite difficult for some people. But also just being in hospital around people much older than you kind of adds to the isolation, because you really kind of just go, well, no one here looks like me. They're older than me. That kind of makes sense. And I remember kind of when I first went into the teenage bay at the Marsden, something that really struck me was just seeing people my age, and kind of, I remember my mum kind of being quite surprised just kind of from the car park of like, so many young people do have cancer. And I think just that really goes to show, seeing people like you and kind of realizing you're not alone, and if it is unfair, but you're not alone in how unfair that is really important.
Yeah, it's that exposure aspect, really. And again, it comes back to awareness. First, that, you know, the awareness that you can get cancer, even though you look healthy, young, you feel okay. But also that there's another level of awareness of knowing that you're not alone in that as well.
If you're going to get diagnosed, you're going to get diagnosed. That's kind of the unfortunate reality. And I think it's much more comforting as a young person to know people around you are aware of it too, are going to get checked out, they know what it's like. That's kind of the only silver lining really in that situation. And I think if there were more awareness around cancer in teenagers and young adults in general, it would be less of a taboo to go to the doctor. You'd feel a bit less embarrassed about it. You'd feel a bit more validated. And I know the theme of this is Teenage and Young Adult Cancer Awareness Month is kind of empowering young people in healthcare. And I think one way to do that is just really talk about it and talk about these symptoms. And I think one quite large issue I see, even as a medical student now, is that we kind of use age as this dismissive factor with young people. And we kind of go, oh, they're young, you know. And I remember the number of people when I was in hospital that would say to me, oh, you're young, you know, it won't be cancer. Or someone literally said to me, like, you look too well to have cancer. And I think that really says it all of, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter whether you have your hair or not. You can still have a cancer diagnosis. And I think raising that awareness among young people will mean they can kind of go to their doctors and healthcare providers armed with a bit more information and a bit more confidence.
Yes. And it's not just awareness in young people. You know, everyone knows that cancer doesn't always look the way we've been told it does. And at every stage, it affects people differently. And you said you had 6 months of treatment. And I know we were talking a bit about how it was kind of strange to think, okay, I can just have my cancer treatment and then I go back to my normal life. And I think that's kind of the message people reiterate a lot. But, you know, what was it like transitioning back to life after cancer in, say, you know, the first 6 months after your treatment compared to where you are now?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like as you ask that question, I'm kind of caught with this, like, whoa, a lot's happened. It's definitely a challenge. Remission is definitely, without kind of sounding ungrateful and without kind of appreciating just how amazing it is to say, you know, remission in a sentence. It is challenging. And I think it's very different to how I imagined it, in the sense that I think you kind of put this pressure on this kind of like movie-like day where you like ring the bell and then like you kind of walk into the sunset and like everything's fine. And I think that's really what I thought it would be like. I think a part of me thought that would be the case. And I think in that time after remission, it was hard because I was kind of trying to navigate life afterwards before going to uni. And I was kind of trying to get back to this normal that never really existed out of school. And even just in myself, kind of physically and mentally, I was kind of like, I need to get back to old me. I need to get back to old me. And I think a really big thing is kind of just to ride the waves that come afterwards and just really, I think, just work on like looking after yourself and kind of challenging yourself in the present now. So I look at myself now, like compared to just after remission, I've done things like I never would have done had I not had cancer. And I've challenged myself in ways I wouldn't have. And I've tried new sports or like learned new things and kind of just done things because I want to, rather than because it's like where I was meant to be going. So yeah, the time after remission is difficult. I think definitely emotionally, because you're kind of navigating not having that support of your healthcare team as much anymore because you're not in and out of hospital. But also trying to get back to life before cancer, but after cancer's happened. So yeah, it's definitely been challenging. But I think as time's gone on, I've become more okay with the fact that it's ups and downs. And I think even just being more accepting of the fact that I can still have moments of feeling, you know, sad that it happened or frustrated or worried about the future, has been a really big thing of just, I think, accepting myself that not everything's going to always be sunshine and rainbows because I don't have cancer anymore. And that's kind of how life was going to be anyway. And actually, we talked earlier about kind of priorities and having to grow up too fast and things. And I think one really kind of nice small thing I've noticed more recently is just being able to worry about things that someone in their 20s would worry about normally. And even just, it sounds a bit silly, but fixating on smaller things has made me feel quite happy in a weird way to know that I can worry about the little things again and not be kind of so in awe of the fact I don't have cancer anymore that like normal life doesn't matter, has been quite a big thing. I think just that like realignment of priorities again to go like, I've had cancer, I know how important health is now, I value my health more than I ever have, and I'm more grateful to be further and further into remission kind of every year, every like time that one of those like cancer anniversaries rolls around. But I also feel kind of quite content with where I am and where I'm heading and the kind of immediate future too, which is exciting and a nice place to be.
I love that. That sounds so exciting. And you're studying medicine, you're doing rotations now. Do you think your experience with cancer will shape your role as a doctor and how you approach being a doctor?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, I remember when I was diagnosed, people saying to me, oh, you know, I guess they were trying to look for a positive as you would, but I remember people saying to me like, oh, you'll be so much more empathetic as a doctor now you've had cancer. And I remember at the time kind of being like, that's nice, but I kind of like to think I would have been empathetic anyway. I like to think like I didn't need this experience to do that. And I still agree with that, but I definitely think it's changed how I think about things. I think being a patient as a young person is quite a rare thing to be in and out of hospital that much. A lot of my peers at medical school have never been to hospital to visit anyone or to be a patient themselves. So I think just to have some kind of awareness of what that feels like is really important. But I am also really like motivated to go into oncology as a doctor one day. And I feel like people either tell you that's really cool or they roll their eyes at you, but I don't really care. I'm kind of like, I think something that might be a challenge when I'm practicing is to not kind of over empathize or kind of let things kind of run too deep or remind me of my own experiences. But I kind of know already, even from time on placement, that it's about learning how to harness that in a positive way. And I think whether you go into medicine and become a cancer doctor or not, that's quite a big thing when you have a diagnosis of cancer, is just to know the role you're going to let it play in your life and how you're going to let it affect how you see the world, how you treat people, how you do your job. And so for me personally, it's quite an exciting thing that I can turn this kind of quite rubbish diagnosis and thing that happened to me into a positive thing when I help other people one day.
I think that's great that you're able to still have or find moments and events of positivity on what is really an experience no one wants. And so for listeners who might be either going through cancer or know a friend or a loved one going through cancer, is there any advice that you'd pass on?
I remember my nurse specialist saying to me, you have cancer, but it doesn't have you. And that is just kind of, as cliched as it sounds, that's kind of the one sentence I would say to anyone with a cancer diagnosis, because I think it just speaks to all those things we've talked about of, you have cancer, but it doesn't have you. It's not your identity. It's not who you are. It's not who you're going to be. It's a part of your life, but you don't have to let it control you. And I think as a young person with cancer, the most powerful thing you can do is kind of reclaim your identity without cancer and just remember that that's there, which is really difficult to do when you're in the thick of it. I think just remembering, yeah, you have cancer, it doesn't have you, and it's not always going to feel how it feels now, is a really powerful thing. That's still like a real mantra in life for me, is like, whatever you're feeling now, for better and for worse, isn't always going to feel like this. So you either like you know, bottle up the good times and enjoy them, or you just remember, like, this storm is going to pass. You're not going to be here forever feeling like this.
Sharmia is just one of the over 2,000 young adults and teenagers that get diagnosed with cancer every year in the UK. From the very start, it can be more difficult for teenagers and young adults to get a diagnosis, access to appropriate care, or take part in research. But change starts with awareness. I'd like to thank Sharmia for joining me on this episode. And if you liked it, remember to rate the show and subscribe for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.